Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Modern Lending Podcast live. I'm Alec, live from my garage. I know I'm not in the studio. I'm sorry, but there's a pandemic going around, people. So you got to take things a little more seriously. So this is going to be a fun conversation. I have been pounding all of you forever and ever about video. I know video, audio with podcasts a little bit, then video. But today we're going to pivot a little bit and talk about the written word. I've got an incredible guest, Shondell Varciana. This gal, since 1998, came into the business, was a mortgage originator, did tons of loans up at the Bank of Montreal, worked in Canada. But now she runs a writing company in Atlanta, Georgia, Varci Media. She owns and operates it. And we're going to talk about the power of the written word and how you can use it to grow your business, grow your impact, and reach more customers. So let's get ready to rock and roll, and let's bring Shondell on the show. Woo! Shondell, good to see you. I still got you muted. Hold on. I got you. There you go.
Good to see you. Thank you so much for having me. Great to be here. Awesome.
Happy 4th. Welcome back.
Yes, thank you. Happy 4th of July to you too.
So I have some questions for you before we dive into the written word and blogging. And I'm sure everyone's taking a sigh of relief right now because I'm not going to force a video on their face. But but the written word's powerful, and there's a purpose behind it. And it transformed our society from an oral community to a written community. There's really big power there. So let's talk about you. How did you start an agency? What's this all about? What's your story?
So I'm originally from Toronto, Canada, and I've been working in banking since I was 18, right out of high school. I started working in banking and just worked my way up in the bank. And then I left a bank in Canada and moved to a company called CMHC, which is Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation. It's the same thing as PMI here, but mm-hmm. in Canada, it's owned by the Canadian federal government. So that's the only main difference. So while I was there, I had a couple mortgages, my home that I lived in, and I had a rental property at the time. And I paid off both of those mortgages within 7 years. I'd have to go look at the numbers, but I paid them off pretty quickly, just making additional payments and so forth.
Yeah.
And then a girlfriend of mine suggested that I start helping other people to do the same thing. And I didn't know how to do that. So she suggested I start blogging.
Yeah.
So I started to blog and giving people advice. And then I started to be a part of the whole personal finance community. And then, radio shows were contacting me and magazines were contacting me and just wanting to hear my story. And that led to me working with a lady by the name of Gail Vaz-Oxlade. She is the Susie Orman, but of Canada.
Okay.
Just to make it easier for
us. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, so I started doing some work with her, and then that led to people contacting me, wanting me to write for them. So that is pretty much how the business was born. Wow. Literally from just me, blogging about my personal experience and just giving people advice. And, and then I was still working at CMHC at the time, and I was getting all this business, and I couldn't write all of it myself. So my boyfriend, who's now my husband, suggested that I just start hiring some writers. Yeah. So that's what I did, and then the business was born. And I brought the business to the US, Atlanta, Georgia, simply because I've always wanted to live in Atlanta. It's my favorite city. And the opportunity arose and I said, we're moving to Atlanta. So my husband's like, sure. So that's what ended up happening. And here we are.
Well, so if you look at you up online and Google you online, you help a lot of credit unions, a lot of big companies kind of get their messaging out.
Yes.
Why is that so important for them? And then we're going to translate that down into, my salespeople and loan officers, but what's so important for them to get in that space?
Because I think what I found over the years of just blogging and being a part of the whole personal finance community is that a lot of people were not going to financial institutions for expert advice. Mm-hmm. And I've been on both sides of the fence. I've worked in a financial institution, and then now I'm working with financial institutions. So being in working inside of a financial institution, there's so much knowledge and so much information inside that just doesn't get out to the public. And
I love that.
And so when I was on the other side of the fence, talking to actual people who, were trying to get a mortgage. A lot of people didn't even know what the mortgage term was. A lot of people don't know what an amortization is. Nope. And they're learning these things from me, but not me as an employee of a bank, but me because I started blogging about my experience. And that's when I knew there was a disconnect between what the knowledge and information that financial institutions have and how that information is getting out to their ideal customer. Because my friends who are looking to buy a house, they are the financial institution's ideal customer, but they're coming to me because I had paid off my mortgage and wanting to know what I did. But the banks should be giving that information, right?
Man, I love your comments. It's, first of all, that insight is so dead on. It's so dead on. Like, we do not go, we as a society anymore, we do not go to so-called experts for advice, the banks, the institutions, we go online.
Exactly.
And we start Googling and we start reading things and we start self-educating to a large degree before we even go into like a real conversation. And you saw that trend early on and built an agency around it, which is so cool. So you're educating these people to put the articles out, and what effect happens? What have you seen?
So I see a lot of different things. I see that because what's happening is, even though financial institutions are so old in terms of they've been around for so long, they have not all developed the know, like, and trust factor.
No way. Of course.
Online, of course. Right? Because I'm finding a lot are still in the old school stage. And now, because we've moved into the technology era, it's taking some time, and it's the consistency of the content over time and getting in front of your ideal customers. And some institutions are, you know, they're right on board, they're getting in there, they're all over social media, they're filling their website with content, and they're seeing the impact of that. They're seeing that people are filling out their contact forms. They're seeing that people are calling in to their customer service number. So we track all of that to see, okay, if we've created such and such landing page, we brought them here, now they've contacted you. You know, we track all of that to see, based on the information that we're putting out there, how much of that is coming back in business. And we're seeing it over a period of time, how much business is coming back as a result of them being consistent with their content.
So let me just hit this for everybody on here who's a local sales pro. Your customers are going online for information. If you're not there, they're consuming whatever's there. Whoever they're consuming Shondell's articles, they're consuming information to learn, and you should be the one guiding and educating them. And man, it's so evident to me that I've missed the boat, and just because I'm so hyper focused on video, that there's another medium that I need to be playing in too, which is writing and blogging and talking about the content. So if somebody is going to do a written piece, right? So like, give me some groundwork, give me some framework. How long should it be? You know, what kind of content should it contain? You know, what's your expertise there? What's your advice?
So for social media posts, you're always going to be limited by the characters that you can use. Twitter, you don't really have much. But even with Facebook, you can actually, I don't know the exact number on Facebook on the top of my head.
I think it's a big number.
Yes, you can put a lot more content on Facebook than LinkedIn. So you've got a lot more, but keep in mind that people's attention spans are not—they're not wanting to consume, you know, 1,000 words or 2,000 words on Facebook, right? Because of all of the when they're scrolling. So you've got to be careful of that. With social media, you know, short and sweet is great, and mix it up. Do the video, as you were mentioning, put out some written content in there as well. So you can mix it up. It's not, you know, only written content. Put out some infographics, put out some pictures. Like, it's not, you know, it's not a, you know, a one way. Mix it up a bit. The main point is just providing value. And what I mean by providing value is answering the questions that your potential customers have.
Yeah. Yeah. And you made a good point about that before we started chatting here live. You know, how do you coach somebody to make sure that they're posting relevant content? Like, how do you say, you know, where do you point them if they're like, where do I start?
I would say start with being a part of the conversation that your potential customer is already having. Like, I don't know anyone personally that woke up this morning and said, okay, I'm gonna buy a house. No, people don't usually do that. You know what I mean? They go online, they do some research, they talk to friends and family, you know, they may contact an agent. So there's some work that's done ahead of them deciding, okay, this is the area that I like. They check out different neighborhoods. Yes. So you need to be a part of that conversation that they're already having. And a great way to be a part of that conversation is to get in front of them through Facebook groups, join Facebook groups, join home buyer Facebook groups.
Yes.
If that's your target market, if your target market is repeat buyers, join repeat buyer Facebook groups. If it's investment, if you're going after people who are buying, you know, rental properties, join those types of Facebook groups, because you know that right there. And like, if you find a group that has 4,000 or 5,000 people or 10,000 people, all those people are interested. Now, they may not be interested tomorrow, but they may be interested in 6 months to a year. And you being a part of that conversation just gives you so much insight in what your ideal customer wants. Now you can hear, see all the questions that people are asking. You could chime in there because you are an expert. You know this stuff like the back of your hand.
Yep. So
you can now be that expert. Like if I'm in a Facebook group and I am wanting to buy a home, I'm going to listen to someone that chimes in who's a loan officer versus some random person who like if you identify yourself, you're a loan officer, I'm going to say, yep. Okay, this person obviously knows what they're talking about. Let me hear what they have to say. So you can answer those questions, build relationships with people in Facebook groups. Forums are another great way to do that as well. It's really just being part of that conversation. What people are asking, look for patterns. Now you can start creating some content on your own personal Facebook page, addressing those things that people are asking.
See, I love this because I obviously agree with you. So that's good because okay. I love it. You're saying like, be part of the conversation, right? Like be in these groups, be in these digital communities, be listening, be adding your comments, be engaging. Like I love this because before you're even coaching somebody to put out an article or a blog, you're saying first, go be part of the community, go listen, go pay attention, start engaging. And I could not agree with that more. I mean, it's a two-way street. You can't just start writing articles or putting out videos and expect the world to be like, oh, thank God.
Exactly.
I've been waiting for this article. No, like when you're part of the community, when you're part of the engagement, when you're sharing your thoughts, all of a sudden now you put out a blog or a video and people start to connect back in.
Yes. And then you're bringing people back to your personal Facebook page. And on your personal page, you can control that. You determine how much content you put out there. But once you get them over to your side, now you could really engage with them more. Now you can have a one-to-one conversation with them.
Yeah.
So it's all about being a part of that journey. Because like I said, they may not want to buy now, but they may want to buy in 2 months, and they may know other people that want to buy.
It's a
trickle effect, right? If you help them and provide value, of course they're going to tell their friend, sister, brother, cousin about you as well, right? So it's just a holistic approach you want to take in terms of getting out there online.
Guys, if you're listening to this later and if you're watching this later, please type in hashtag bypassed. I love to see who watches this later. But that's such incredible advice. The scale of ability, the ripple effect,
yes,
of your influence on a community is vast and you don't even know. You don't even know that person's forwarding your article to six other people, forwarding your post to all these other people, you know, DMing their kid, like, hey, it's time to buy, like, check this out. You know, you don't even know. And that's the power of social media and the power of digital community. So one more thing I want to echo on this, Shondell, that I think people forget in my world, you know, the average loan officer in my world has 1,000 to 2,000 past customers. To me, that means you have 1,000 to 2,000 readership, like, yeah. Why aren't you writing and forwarding it to them, like inviting them in to the conversation versus just pushing it out and hoping to God somebody sees it? You know, start engaging your active audience.
Absolutely.
They're going to respond. So let's do this, Shondell. After you start listening, after you pay attention, and now you're going to start posting and you're going to start writing, what's some tips and tricks on how to deliver something that someone's going to read?
So your headline, you gotta start with your headline. Cause as people are scrolling, as you scroll, and you know what, pay attention to what stops you when you're scrolling. That's a good way to, get into the mind of somebody who, is going to stop when you post something. What causes you to stop? Think about that. Was it something that was written? Was it something that was said? Was it an emoji? Was it a picture? So pay attention to that, because what prompts you to stop is probably what's going to prompt someone else to stop as well. So, and video is great for that as well.
Good point.
I'm really big on video and content. It doesn't have to be
like that.
One or the other. You don't know where someone is when they're engaging with your content. You don't know if they have time to listen to it, which is why subheadings are great. And then you don't know if they have time to read. And some people just prefer to read than to listen. And some people can't listen because they have kids around. I have a 1-year-old, and when I'm putting him to bed and I'm scrolling, I would love to listen to some things, but then I'm going to have to spend another 2 hours trying to get him to sleep. So I would rather read in that type of situation. So versus listen. So you want to think about that. So it doesn't have to be one or the other. You can have a video and content, because then you're giving people both options. The point is, you've got it out there. If they've got time to listen, they'll listen or watch you. And if they've got time to read, they'll read. But you're giving them both options. So you want to focus on the headline when you're writing. And then also you want to break up the content. Okay. So very, very short sentences, one-liners, because you give people room to actually see what you're writing. At subheadings are really, really great as well, especially on Facebook. If you're going to write a lot of content, you want to break it up, because oftentimes when you're writing, people are not reading everything word for word. They're skimming the content. So while they're skimming, you want something to pop out at them, depending on what you're talking about. But focus on those short subheadings and something that's going to grab their attention. That's also answering their question.
So let's go. Let me ask a little clarifying question on that, because there's so much clickbait out in the world today.
Yes.
And you mentioned heading and subheading, but there's also so many things like that trick you into clicking through, and then you're just hit with ads and you're hit with garbage. So if somebody's thinking, and I always like to when I'm coaching video, you know, make sure your hook or your grab or your main purpose is stated really quickly
at the beginning.
Yeah, people's attention span is 2 seconds. To your point, unless they're interested, they're not going to keep going. So how do you do that with a heading? Do you have any examples or thoughts? How do you do that with a subheading that really would land for some people?
People like checklists. So checklists are great. So you can do, you know, top 10 things to look for when you're buying your first home. Top 10 things to look for in a new neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So people like that because it's quick. And then you could even create a checklist, and then they could download that checklist. So you don't want to, I say put everything out right there, right? You know, there doesn't need to be, like you said, there's a lot of, you know, clickbait. And when you click something, it's, you know, it's garbage. So make sure that what you're putting out there, and even right in the Facebook post or whatever social media site you're on, you know, top 10 tips, you know, put that in there, and then you'll get into more detail in the actual checklist. So that's a great example of what you can use as well. But yeah, checklists, lists are really, really good as well.
Okay.
That people usually want to see that because it's quick. They could literally skim through it and see exactly what it's all about.
So I want everyone to hear that again, and I want to echo it, because Shondell is so right on. I mean, when I joke with people about, they say they don't have content, they don't know what to do for their content. It's like, oh, I don't know what to write about, I don't know what to do a video about. And then we spend 5 minutes and we realize there's a million things to write about. There's a million things that people have questions about. There's a million things people don't know about our industry, about the process. And so I love the concept of checklists. I think that's so smart and key. Because it can be rapid fire, it can be quickly absorbed, and all of a sudden now that's your first post, and you'll probably get more engagement than a video with a checklist. Because I want to echo this too, Shondell, you're so good on this. You never know what state people are in when your content comes by them. So you know, and this is kind of be a little bit, hopefully not too, you know, crude, but like, people check their phones in the restroom.
They sure do.
They're not going to put the volume on. Yeah, headsets in. On the restroom, because then it's like weird and they're listening to something and they're, you know, but they're going to read, they're going to scroll, they're going to be engaging content, and it, like at bedtime too, like maybe their spouse or something, another's asleep and they don't want to, you know, or their kid's asleep, to your point. Like, this is, you know, I clearly have my eyes open and just kind of realizing that the written word's really powerful in the right context, and it gives respect to the position the people are in that you're trying to influence.
Yes. It's customizing. It's really thinking about your, the end user. It's thinking about the customer, and you, this type of insight will come when you're part of the conversation. It really will, because you're going to hear what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So it will come. So it's, if it's difficult for you to come up with topics, it's because you're not part of the conversation.
Again. Good.
that's just the bottom line. If it's difficult for you to come up with content, it's because you're not part of the conversation. So anytime you're stumped, get in there and get to know people, build relationships with them. The ideas will come. It will flow. You will not be short of content when you're a part of the conversation. These people can eventually become your friends. I'm not saying they have to, but what I'm trying to say is, you know what your friend wants, right? Because you've been friends with them. You've developed a relationship with them. So that's what I mean by being a part of the conversation and just getting to know your ideal customer.
So you've hit this in the 20 minutes we've been talking, you went through this chain, but I want you to just kind of succinctly go through it again so everyone can hear. if they're like me, brand new to, they haven't written anything, they don't really blog, they don't really do any of that stuff, and they're now feeling a little bit inspired. They're like, hey, you know, this is another avenue for me. I like writing. I feel more comfortable there than video. And they're just going to get started. Run through again real quickly so they can hear it, what they should do before they start writing.
I would say join a Facebook group.
Yes.
A really good Facebook group is called Bigger Pockets. Huge, huge Facebook group. Very reputable. It's I'm on it all the time just because I'm a real estate investor, but outside of RC Media. But great group of individuals on there looking for, and the funny thing is I don't see enough loan officers on there.
Wow.
I do not see enough loan officers on there. And most people who buy a house need a loan officer.
Yeah, they do.
Most people are not buying houses cash.
Well, Shandell, this is our problem. Like, loan officers have been hiding.
I don't know why.
Well, because we're used to getting all of our business through our trusted referral partners. And so we just kind of sit back and we let the real estate professionals do the direct to consumer marketing work for us.
You could do both.
Well, we have to. We have to now. And to your point, Shandell, it's a wide open field. Like, you're like commenting, like, I don't see any loan officers there. And I'm like, oh, God.
I don't. And I see people asking, do you know of a loan officer in LA? Do you know? I see people asking. And I'm glad you asked me to go back, because I wanted to mention Bigger Pockets because I was literally on it yesterday. And yeah. Someone was asking for a loan officer in different states and different cities. So, I said, you know, when I talk to Alec, I'm going to mention that.
Yeah.
And that's not the only, you know, Facebook group. There's many Facebook groups that have your ideal customer. Now, you can still use the agents as your referrals. You can still use everyone else's referrals, but why not have more avenues? It's like putting it's putting that energy out in more areas so more could come back to you, right? And it helps you build more relationships. And there's agents in there as well. So you can meet other agents who are also going to probably refer people to you as well. So it's a whole, you know, trickle effect. But Facebook groups and forums, you want to be a part of forums as well. Just think of anywhere where your ideal customer would be and how you can get in front of them. And Facebook groups and forums are, one of the biggest right now, or two of them.
Yeah, I'm hoping everybody hears this because it's a golden nugget. There are so many communities out there that are just free to be a part of. You just go to Facebook, you start searching for the groups, search by your city, search by your topic, search by real estate, and all of a sudden you'll find all these groups that are free to join. You know, they might have a little bit of a barrier. They might say certain things like, you know, don't come in here and sell your product or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's okay. It's fine. But to your point, like, if you don't know what to say and if you feel like you don't have any content, you're just not part of the right conversations.
Exactly.
Shandell, that was probably like one of the best quotes in my entire podcast, like, series. Like, Mike, you got to pull that out and repeat it 17 times because it's so true. I never really had a good answer to people saying, I don't know what to post, because I would say there's a million things to post. What are you talking about? There's down payment assistance. There's how much FICO scores, appraisals, all the process is messy. Like, there's a million things to post, but your answer is way more succinct and accurate. What does the community want to hear?
Yes.
And unless you're listening, you won't know. That is gold.
And I just want to add one thing, because I kind of think people are maybe saying, okay, well, if I join these Facebook groups and I can't sell my services, then what's the point? So to address that, you don't need to sell your services directly if you're providing enough value to people. People will reach out to you. Like I said, the majority of people who are buying a property need a mortgage.
Yeah.
So they will reach out. If you are answering the questions, if you're providing value through the questions that they're asking and you're answering those questions consistently, people will see you. There's a lot of times you may post something and people will never reply to it, or they'll never like it, but they see it. And when they're ready, they will reach out to you.
So you said two things of gold that I have to unpack, because everyone's going to hear it and then not hear it. Number one, the comment about likes, right? Like, just because someone didn't like it, we're such a like-oriented society. It's bullcrap. Like, I didn't get my 700 likes. Like, shut up. Somebody saw it and made an impact. Just because they didn't comment or like doesn't mean they didn't see it. It still went in here.
Yeah.
And I think that's just massively overlooked by everybody. And the second thing is, you don't have to sell yourself, but you can share your knowledge. You can share your information without saying, like, use me for a loan. You can explain, like, here's the answer to your question. And if they're not dumb, when you answer it, they're gonna be like, I should send that person a message. Like, they're gonna, like, come on, guys. It's not that hard.
Yeah. It's not. It's just, you know, it's not hard, but it's just some things that are overlooked. And sometimes, you know, we as people in general, we overlook some things that are right in front of us. So sometimes, you know, just laying it out and just thinking about it, and you realize, you know what, this is another way, and it's free. It's just your time that you have to, you know, give up a little bit of.
Yeah, which you got plenty of, because you're sitting at home doing nothing. So, like, right? Like, you got plenty of time. You have nothing else to do. It's just sit there and go communicate online. But let me do this, because you hit me on a topic that I know is important. Consistency. You've been a big proponent of this. You shared it before we went live. You know, one article is not going to change the world. Mm-mm. One answer on a forum or in a Facebook group isn't going to immediately like rain leads on you. So share some tips on how to be consistent in, if I'm going to start writing more.
At least daily.
Ooh, there you go.
At least daily. A few times a day, if you can. Just think that the more content you put out there, the better it is for you, the more people will see you. Again, it comes back to that know, like, and trust factor. They don't even necessarily, and you know, I like the know, like, and trust factor simply because they don't necessarily have to know you personally, but people will feel like they know you if they see you consistently. That's really what it's all about. And then they'll feel like they, and if you're providing the information that they want, then they start to like you because, yep. Oh, you know what? You're answering my questions. And then if you're providing accurate information and timely information, yep. Then they start to trust you. So they don't even have to personally know you, but it's seeing you and the information that you're providing builds that know, like, and trust factor. When they see you all the time, you know what? If they're looking for a loan officer, or if the current loan officer, you know, pissed them off,
yeah,
they're going to contact you because, you know what?
This person, by the way, Shondell, it's sad, but there's bad loan officers in the industry.
Of course, and there are.
And not just bad, like bad actors. I know there's those too, but there's just people that aren't reliable. They don't answer their phone. They show up and then they disappear. They're part timers maybe, and they're kind of they're on vacation. They didn't even let you know. They just ghosted you.
Yes.
I mean, there's so many loan officers I know that get relationships and win deals because the other loan officer just didn't execute well.
Exactly.
So the opportunity is wide open.
It is. It really is. So that's why consistency is definitely important, and it shows that you're reliable. So that's something else that is really, really important. If you can't be bothered to take the time to show up all the time, then why would somebody want to trust you that you're going to show up for them when they need to buy a house, which is one of the most important decisions people make. It's one of the most expensive decisions people make. So they want to make sure that they're doing that with somebody who is reputable and somebody who they can trust.
You know, I used to say the same thing all the time when I was coaching people how to prospect realtors and make referral partners and how to grow their business that way. The one thing I would always say is that none of those agents are going to just give you a deal the first time you walk into their house and say, hi, I do loans. You know, they're not going to, some of these agents don't do that many deals. Like, they could do a couple a year, and like that's like a 30 grand check for them. They're not just going to like be like, oh, thank God you're here. You know, never seen you before, but here's my 30 grand commission I'm going to entrust you with to like close this jumbo property. But to your point, if you show consistency in how you show up and when you show up and how often you show up, you build trust. And it's the same thing with how you build trust online.
Yes.
You know, Shondell, just oh, look at this. You're already pushing people into big pockets. This is great. I know, I got to go join there now too after this.
Bigger pockets.
Is it bigger pockets?
Yeah, B-I-G-G-E-R.
Pockets. Oh, see, now Mary joined some weird group on big pockets. Weirdos that just make big pockets on outfits. So that's the wrong group. But again, and I'll say this too, you know, so Shondell, is bigger pockets about like investing in real estate?
It is, yes. It's mainly investors that go on there. So you'll have the people who are part of that community are people who are investing in real estate.
So I also want to encourage everybody, it's not just about those communities where the people are. You could be in Dungeons and Dragons League and there's still thousands and thousands of humans in there who probably have mortgage questions. And if that's what you are excited about, and I'm Harry, uh-oh, I'm the big pockets group now. I think to echo Shondell's earlier point, just go hang out where the people are and be a part of the conversation, and it's going to blow your mind. So you intimidated some people, Shondell, so I want you to go back to this point. No, it's good. It's a good thing because you said write every day, and all of a sudden they go, I can't, it's impossible. Like, I'm so busy, and excuses pour up. And so like, if somebody is going to try to build their musculature, they are going to try to, Mary's good now. She's good now.
Good.
If people are going to try to step into this space, you know, what What should they expect to experience? You know, because you've done this before. What should they be prepared for?
The journey.
Yes.
Because,
what does that look like?
It's not. Sorry, I didn't hear the last part you said.
What does that look like?
Oh, so like the first time you post, you know, nobody may see it. Nobody may read it.
So good. Yeah, no one's gonna see it. No, don't worry about it.
But don't get discouraged. And that's why I mentioned at the beginning not to just start posting. Be a part of the conversation first. Get to know your audience first, because then you're posting relevant content and then you're pulling them to you, right? Mm-hmm. As you start posting relevant content, they're probably going to send you a friend request. Then you can talk to them one-on-one. Now they're seeing your content, because that's key too. When you're posting content online, who is seeing it? Because if it's just your friends that aren't really interested in buying, then that's probably not going to move the needle. So you want to be adding relevant connections all the time. And before you just go randomly adding people, build relationships with them. That's why I was saying these groups are great, because as you get to know people in these groups, then you can add them as connections. And then as you're posting, and remember, you're going to be posting what you've heard them talking about in the group. So you know it's relevant because, you know, the 10, 20 people just talked about it. So it's strategic. It's having that strategy in place. So you've been a part of the conversation. You know what they're talking about. You've befriended some of them. Now you're friends with some of them on Facebook, and now you're posting relevant content. They're going to share your content if it's great. Now their connections see your content. So you know it's a process. But the beginning is to find out where they are, what they're talking about, and being part of that conversation.
So I want to share something that I because I'm more used to social media and Facebook that I forgot to mention that it's really important. In these Facebook groups, these aren't people that you are friends with. These are strangers, so to speak, interested in the same thing or joining a conversation about the same thing. So this is a really great way to build your digital community. I mean, Shondell's explaining it, but I want people to realize like, oh yeah, crap, not everyone in that group is going to be my connection. But my comments, my posts into that community can still reach those people. Mm-hmm. That's incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
And because, you know, people have struggled, like, I don't have enough connections. Well, you don't need a ton of connections. You just need to be in the right groups.
Yep.
And everyone can hear your voice.
Exactly. Be a part of another group that has a lot of connections.
That's a huge, like, underrated tip right there that I think people are going to hopefully catch on to. It's just that that's an easy way to meet friends online.
It is. It is. And get business.
That's 100%. So how much business do you get from these groups?
So I don't join the groups because my ideal client is our financial institutions. They're usually not in.
So you're in there for personal stuff.
Yeah, me being in there for personal reasons, I thought of you.
Because I love it. It's so good.
So I said, okay. And I will also mention, yes, it's real estate investors, but there's a lot of people in there that I see asking questions that have never bought a house before. So they're wanting advice on, okay, you know, I've been renting for a long time. I see that, you know, mortgage rates are at an all-time low and I'm thinking about getting in. Can I get some tips from people who have bought? And the people who are giving them tips are people like me, because I've been buying real estate for so long, but I'm not a loan officer.
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore. So I was thinking, and this just happened a couple days ago, and I was thinking, you know, this is great for Alec and his loan officers, because I'm not a loan officer and I'm giving advice. How much more advice would you be able to give? Because you're more current. You're in it. You're in the day-to-day of the industry. You need to be giving this person advice and get the business, because they're looking to see. That's what I was saying earlier. People are looking for experts, but they're not always getting the experts. And yep. The reason why they're not always getting the experts is because the experts are nowhere to be found.
So I want to recap some of the nuggets we talked about. I want to kind of hit these and make sure we got them all down here for the people that are listening right now, especially if you're listening on the podcast later. Thank you very much. So number one, join these communities, be part of the conversation. You don't need to be friends with all of them. You can become friends with all of them. And there's amazing groups happening with professionals that you can start contributing to and being part of the conversation. And it's an easy way to build community, to build business, to build relationships. Shondell, it's a no-brainer. Like, get into those groups. Number two, pay attention and listen first, and you'll find the content you need. It'll come to you. Because if you just listen to what everyone's talking about, you'll know what everyone wants to hear, and you can provide the answers. That, to me, I think is probably still my favorite thing we talked about today, by far. If you're going to post consistently. Consistency builds trust. So if you're going to be in the game, be in the game all in. And then the easy way to kind of start with writing is lists. Have a great heading, have a great heading and tagline. Feel free to do the top 10 lists or the bullet points so people can easily absorb it. And what else would you say to kick people off to go on this?
Video is good too.
Yay!
No, video is great. Video is always good. I just say you can do both. You could do content and video. But yeah. video is really, really good too. Because you can just literally turn your iPhone camera, your Samsung, whatever phone you have, you can just turn the camera on yourself and give some tips. And another thing that you can do with content is because you're in the industry and you know what's happening and you hear things that are happening, you can talk about industry stuff. So it doesn't all have to be about mortgages. You can talk about industry. People want to know what's happening in their local community. So you will likely have that information because you're talking to people all the time and you're just part of it. You're in it. So share that information with people too. So don't think content has to be all sophisticated and it's got to be formal. No, it doesn't always have to be that way. You can literally post a lot of different things. So just think outside of the box, be a part of these communities that I was mentioning, and you will get so many ideas.
Well, and guys, even like, let's say you did a top 10 list as your first blog or as a post like that, our top 10, you know, traps to look out for as first-time homebuyers or as an investor. You know, each of those top 10 little bullets can be easily made into a tweet. And now you've got 10 tweets. You could take a picture of a couple of them, and now you got 10 Instagram posts.
Yep.
You know, this is long form content that can be pulled out and made into so many different other pieces of content to get your message across. Because please remember, not everyone's going to listen and say, "Thank God, Alec wrote a top 10 list." Like, it's not going to land like that. You got to keep sharing your message, keep communicating, because not the world doesn't stop because you know you put out an article or a video. So Shondell, we're wrapping down here. What final words of wisdom and advice would you share with? I love this question. I think it's a good one for you to answer. Even though we may have answered it before, it'll be good so people can hear it. You know, if you've got a brand new loan officer sitting in front of you, inspired, excited, ready to go, what do you tell them to do?
Join a Facebook group.
Yeah.
Join a Facebook group would be the number one thing I would tell them to do. You'll learn so much. You will learn so much from people. You'll learn so much from the people that you're trying to attract.
Yep.
That would be the number one thing I would do before you do anything. Get to know your audience is the most important thing. Take the time, because you can save so much more time down the road if you take the time up front to really get to know your audience and find out what it is they want. Because then now you can say, you know what? Okay, this is what my audience wants. How can I provide that to them? How could I give that to them based on my skills, based on, you know, where I work, based on the products that we have? How can I be of service to them? So now you're putting yourself in the service mentality, and that's where the value comes in. Because it's not about you, it's about them.
Ooh, I know. That's so good. We're gonna end on that. That's the way to go. Shondell, first of all, thank you for coming on. This has been super fun. You've given so many nuggets today. I can't wait to share all the little pieces of this because I think people need to hear it over and over again. I just really appreciate you, and thanks for taking the time today.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me. Super fun.
All right, Modern Lending Podcasters, we are out for the day. If you enjoyed today's episode, like, share, drop a review, a 5-star, appreciate it. And go find Shondell online and check out what she's doing in her groups. Be a part of her community because trust me, it'll help grow your business. Everyone, have a fantastic day.
Thank you.